Mr. Craig was telling the truth that I'm going to be up here for the next 4 weeks, and hopefully you guys will come back because we have a neat little series, I feel like, that we'll be going through. Over the next few weeks, we're going to dive into the Old Testament and take a look at a life of a single individual, a life that was full of adventure and excitement, as well as failure and lessons learned. A life that was sought to be used by God and indeed was used by God, but also was human and failed and had things to continually learn. A life that was in tune with the will of God, but still had so much to learn about the will of God. This life sounds like it could be any one of ours, right? I haven't even told you who this life belongs to yet, and you might be thinking, wow, I can already relate to this individual. I've had lots of excitement and adventure in my life, but I've also had lots of failure, and I've had to learn lessons the hard way. You might be thinking, my desire is to be used of God in miraculous ways, but will God still use me even if I fail? I desire to be in the will of God, but I still fail from time to time. We can all relate to this person, and that's part of why I'm so excited to do this little mini-series. The life we're going to look at is only 4 chapters long, but we'll be able to pull so much from it and apply it to our own lives and our own walks with the Lord. And the life we're going to look at is the life of the prophet Jonah. It doesn't matter where you're at in your Christian life, chances are you've heard about Jonah. Everyone here know who I'm talking about when I say the prophet Jonah? Everyone's heard about Jonah. But let me give you some quick notes just about Jonah. Jonah was a real person, a Jewish prophet of God who ministered in the northern kingdom of Israel. Some have looked at the book of Jonah and said, well, that's just a parable or that's just an allegory. But those people are overlooking some of the references to Jonah. The book of 2 Kings speaks of the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, the son of Amittai. That sounds like it's a real person to me. In Matthew 12, our Lord spoke about Jonah being in the belly of a great fish. And in Luke 11, Jesus also references the ministry of Jonah to the Ninevites. So he was a real person. Jonah, he was a prophet of God, and he had become a fairly popular prophet. He was a contemporary of the prophets Amos and Hosea. And it's likely that Jonah had become popular because of his prophecy about Israel's boundaries being extended under King Jeroboam the second. And that prophecy came to pass. Jonah was also one of 4 Old Testament prophets whose ministries were referred to by Jesus himself. Some more facts about Jonah. The book of Jonah is one of 12 books that makes up the section we know as the minor prophets. Not minor because of their messages is less relevant or as important, but simply because the books are smaller. Jonah has become known as the pouting prophet, and he is the only Old Testament prophet to attempt to run from God. So what is the book of Jonah about? Well, the book of Jonah is not simply about a great fish, although every kid would tell you that's what Jonah is about. And it's mentioned 4 times, the great fish, but that's not what it's about. The book of Jonah is not simply about the great city of Nineveh, which was mentioned 9 times in these 4 chapters. And it's not necessarily about the disobedient and pouting prophet, which will be mentioned 18 times in these 4 chapters. These 3 things, all added up together, don't even add up to the mentioning of what this book is truly about. So what is it about? Well, the book of Jonah is about God. In 4 short chapters, only 48 verses, God is mentioned 38 times. If you take God out of the book doesn't make any sense at all. The Lord has the first word, and he has the last word of the book. And if we want to get a little bit more specific, we could say that the book of Jonah is about the will of God and how we are to respond to it and how our attitude should be toward it. And that's kind of how I want to look at these 4 chapters these next weeks of Jonah. How did Jonah respond to God's will? What was his attitude? How did he respond? Why did he respond that way? and what resulted from the response. And as we see Jonah's different responses, we're also going to look at how God responded in return. From Genesis to Revelation and every book in between, we see God's long-suffering toward us, toward mankind. And we're going to see that in these four short chapters, that exact same thing, God's long-suffering. So without giving it all away in the introduction, let's go ahead and jump in to chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Jonah is all about Jonah's flight. Let's read the first two verses together. Or I'll read it, you can follow along. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go up to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So as I said, today we're going to be looking at Jonah's flight. And right out of the gate, we see the commission to Jonah, and it comes from the Lord God of Israel. Remember in the introduction, I said that the Lord has the first word of the book, and he has the last word, and the word of the Lord to Jonah is to go. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So at this specific point in Jonah's life, this was God's will for him, to go. Jonah, this is what I want you to do. He was given a commission, and it was a divine commission. Not because of who Jonah was. He was a prophet, but that's not what made his commission divine. It was the origin of the commission. It came from God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now Jonah, he had heard God's call before. He was a prophet of God, so this wasn't new to him. And from what we know, Jonah had been obedient. And he had gone in the past. But this, as we're going to see, wasn't the case this time. Jonah's attitude changed towards this commission. His attitude towards God's will, it wasn't obedient, as we're going to see. So we see that we've seen the commission to Jonah, our first point this morning. The will of God for Jonah was to go to the city of Nineveh and cry out against it. And so how did Jonah respond? Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 reads, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We saw Jonah's commission, and secondly this morning we see Jonah's disobedience. Jonah heard God's call. He knew what the will of God was for him, and instead of being obedient, he turned and ran the complete opposite direction. Our text says that he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord, which means Jonah tried to resign his office as prophet. His response was to resign. He knew that he could never get away from God or his presence. The psalmist, actually King David, in Psalm 139, verse 7, he writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" And the implication there is that it's not possible. God is everywhere. We cannot hide from the presence of God, and Jonah knew that as well. So if he couldn't run away, he thought, well, I'll resign from my calling, from my office, and I'll just stop preaching. The attitude of Jonah was just completely wrong. Jonah's attitude towards obeying God was wrong. His attitude toward witnessing to the Ninevites was all wrong. Jonah, he knew what kind of people lived over there, and they had quite the reputation. These were the Assyrians. They were a very cruel and heartless people. They thought nothing of torturing their captors. Just to give you an idea, the Assyrians, they were known for burying their enemies alive. They were known for skinning their enemies alive. And they were known for impaling them on sharp poles and leaving them out to rot in the hot sun. These were the people group that God was calling Jonah to go to. But beyond being ruthless captors, Jonah knew the prophecy about the Assyrians. We mentioned in the introduction that Jonah was a contemporary of Amos and Hosea, and they had prophesied concerning the Assyrians. In Hosea 11, verse 5, he's very specific. This is God's yearning over his people, and Hosea says, "They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria will be their king, because they refuse to turn to me." So Jonah knew at some point the Assyrians would be their captors, and he didn't want to go there. Jonah's attitude towards the city of Nineveh and towards God's will was that it might be difficult and it might be dangerous. From where Jonah was, the journey to Nineveh was about a month-long journey, and that was considering he would make about 15 to 20 miles a day. But not only would it be difficult, but you just heard of the Assyrians' reputation, it could be dangerous for Jonah, even the prophet of God. Jonah also could have felt fear in the sense that he would be the one that God used to help the very enemy that would later destroy and take captive his own nation. And the interesting thing is, this is a prophet of God who knew just how merciful God was. Later on in chapter 4, we'll see this come out, but Jonah knew that God was a merciful God, and yet he didn't want to share that same grace with the people who needed it the most. The thing about being a witness for the Lord is that there is no middle ground. And this is kind of a bold statement, but think about it. If you're not witnessing for the Lord, then you're witnessing against the Lord. Jonah thought that he could just not witness for the Lord. Jonah decided that he knew best and he was ready to take things into his own hands, and he had the wrong attitude. And as we saw, that attitude led to a bad decision, and that decision was to resign. Jonah felt that he could just turn his witnessing on and off. He thought that when the word of the Lord came to him, he could just take it or leave it. But when God calls, we are to listen and we are to obey. Luke 6:46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Well, this is one bad decision. This one bad decision led to a series of events. But I want to share a quick story with you. And this story is about Chippy the parakeet. Chippy was a happy little bird. He was content every day to sit on his porch and or on his perch and swing and sing to his little heart's content. And one day Chippy's owner decided that she was going to clean out his birdcage. Well, she took off the attachment from the end of the vacuum and stuck it in there and was cleaning out some of the sediment from the bottom. And then the phone rang. And Chippy's owner turned to pick up the phone when she heard it. Chippy got sucked in. As you can imagine, the bird owner gasped, dropped the phone, turned off the vacuum, and ripped open the bag. Don't worry, this ends well for Chippy. Inside, there lay Chippy, still alive, but stunned by the trauma. The bird was covered with all the terrible grit and grime from the vacuum bag. So the owner did the only thing she thought she could do. She grabbed him, raced up to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under running water. Then, realizing that poor little Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did again what any good bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the poor little guy with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. Talk about one bad decision leading to a series of unfortunate events. Now, this was kind of a humorous story, but this is what happened with Jonah. Jonah's attitude towards God affected his decision-making. He made a decision, and it led to a series of events. So Jonah had made the decision to disobey God, and there were consequences that followed from that decision. So we've seen Jonah's commission, we've seen his disobedience, and thirdly this morning, we're going to see Jonah's consequences. Follow me as I read verse 4 through the end of the chapter. "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, 'How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish.' Each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' Then he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, How could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, What should we do to you that the sea might be calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you. However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah's decision from verse 3 led him downward. He went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it. He went down into the great sea, and then ended up down in the belly of a great fish. So now we'll look at his consequences. Jonah was at a loss. His one decision to disobey God had led to a series of unfortunate events, just like the owner of Chippy the parakeet. But let's look at what Jonah lost because of his disobedience. The first thing we'll see is Jonah lost his communion with God. Jonah had chosen to flee from the presence of the Lord, and as a result, he lost God's voice. God was no longer speaking to Jonah through word, but through his actions. Our text in verse 4 says the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. God was now speaking to Jonah through the sea, the wind, the storm, the rain, the lightning, and eventually the great fish. At this point, everything was obeying God, except for his servant, his prophet. God even used pagan sailors who did not know God. Warren Wiersbe commented on this fact, saying, It is a sad thing when a servant of God is rebuked by a pagan. And when you think about that, it truly is sad. When someone who knows of God but does not know him, when someone who knows how we should be living and how our attitude should be can point out the error in our ways, that's a sad day. So Jonah lost his communion with God. Secondly, Jonah lost his passion for others. Instead of being the prophet of God that he was called to be, instead of proclaiming God to the people, Jonah ran from the Lord, founded a ship heading as far away as possible, went to the lowest part of the ship, and fell sound asleep. His concern was no longer for people who needed to turn to the Lord. His concern was no longer for God's people. His concern was to shirk his responsibility and just get away. The sailors were terrified of this storm and began throwing everything overboard to help lighten the ship. And there was Jonah, totally unconcerned for the safety of the crew, sound asleep. Our text says that every man cried to his God, which suggests that multiple deities were being worshipped on the ship, which we'll get to that in a minute. But this was a desperate time for the sailors, and they were doing everything that they could do to get out of this situation, but not Jonah. He lay there, sound asleep, with no regard for the lives on board. Jonah had lost his passion for others. Third thing that Jonah lost was his desire to pray to God. The one person on the ship who knew the true and living God, and the one person that could pray, wouldn't do it. There was a prayer meeting up on deck, if you will, and Jonah slept right through it. praying to God and asking for help meant that Jonah would first have to confess his sins and get right with God, which meant then he would have to obey the Lord, which meant he would have to go to Nineveh. And Jonah was not ready to commit to that. He still felt that the people of Nineveh deserved God's wrath and was not willing to be the one to share God's love and God's grace. And as a result, he lost his desire to pray. And it's a good question to ask yourself. If you ever feel like you've lost that desire to pray, it's probably time to stop and re-examine where you're at with your walk with the Lord. Prayer and communion with the Lord is one of the best ways to be in a right fellowship with the Lord. And if our desire is not there, it may be an indication of our walk with Him. But Jonah lost his desire to pray. And then fourthly, Jonah lost his testimony for God. Jonah, as we've said over and over, was a prophet of God. His job was to bring messages from God, not to bring judgment upon people. Jonah's name means dove, and a dove is a symbol of peace, and there was nothing happening here that was dove-like or peaceful. So the sailors, they decided to cast lots on whose account this calamity had fallen, and the lots fell on Jonah. And that's when he had to come out with it. Our text tells us that Jonah had already told them that he was fleeing from the Lord. Okay, you're fleeing from the Lord, no big deal, let's go. But now Jonah informs them that not only is he fleeing from the Lord, but that he is a Hebrew. And on top of being a Hebrew, he was a prophet of God, the God of heaven, the God who made the sea and the dry land. And this announcement made the sailors, even more afraid. Our text says in verse 10, then the men became extremely frightened. And even though these sailors were men who did not know God as their personal Savior, they still knew about Him. No doubt they had heard the works of the God of Israel and how He had brought His people out of Egypt, how He had given them victory against all the big cities in the Promised Land, how He had given a small shepherd boy a victory against a giant. And now all of a sudden this guy is telling us he's a prophet of that God. We're so duped. Just think of the testimony Jonah could have had he taken the opportunity right then and there to confess his sins to God, to get back into a right relationship with the Lord. It's very possible that the storm would have just completely ceased and opened up an incredible opportunity for Jonah to witness. But he missed out. It's interesting to compare the testimony of Jonah to the testimony of these sailors. We already talked about Jonah being the one person on the ship that knew God and the one person that did nothing. While the sailors jettisoned the ship, Jonah, he fell asleep. The sailors called out to their gods, but Jonah remained silent. And even after Jonah told them to throw him into the sea to save their lives, the sailors rejected that idea and went back to work even harder. Verse 13 says, however, the men rowed desperately to return to land. The sailors here did more for Jonah than Jonah was willing to do for them. But then the sailors, they came to a point where it was hopeless to row any longer. They weren't going to make it back. So what did they do next? They called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. These unbelieving sailors put Jonah to shame. These sailors had some basic knowledge of the God of Israel, and they confessed his sovereignty. They said, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. Some have taken this verse to say that these sailors became believers right then and there. Others say that they just merely added God to their collection. And I don't think that we can really know for sure, but what we do know is that they placed themselves on the mercy of God. They threw Jonah into the sea, and it was calmed. At this point, the sailors feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice and made vows to the Lord. And that's all we know. We don't know what the sacrifice was. Everything had been already thrown overboard, so what was there left to sacrifice? We don't know how it was offered, but what we do know is what a difference from the attitude of the sailors to the attitude of Jonah. Jonah had lost his testimony. There's lots of application for us to pull from Jonah in this first chapter. There's lots of things that we can look at as what not to do from Jonah. But if you'll remember, this book isn't about Jonah. It's about God. We saw what Jonah did. Jonah resigned. But what did God do? Well, God showed how patient he was with his servant. From the first moment when Jonah decided to flee from the presence of God, we saw God's patience. God could have easily stopped him right there in his tracks and said, "No, we're going this way." But he didn't. He was patient with him. God also prepared the fare and the ship that Jonah needed. Jonah might have been thinking at this point, "Wow, you know, getting away was kind of easier than I thought." But this was God being patient with Jonah, giving him opportunity. God then prepared a great wind and a great storm. Jonah ignored the storm and fell asleep. Yet God remained patient. God used the captain of the ship to call Jonah to prayer. Jonah still refused, and the Lord still remained patient. God used the sailors to ask Jonah about his testimony. Jonah answered their questions, but remained unrepentant still, and the Lord remained patient. Then finally, God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and we'll see more of that next week. But God gave his servant opportunity after opportunity to repent. The opportunities came and went. Jonah remained unrepentant, and the Lord remained patient. Jonah resigned. The Lord was patient. Back to our scripture reading verse this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And that is who our God is. He is a gracious and compassionate God. In chapter 4 of Jonah, Jonah admits, he says, "I know you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for just the lesson that we can learn here today, Lord. Not only to be obedient to you, Lord, and to listen, but Lord, just thank you for the testimony of yourself, Lord. What an honor it is to be called one of yours, Lord. Just how thankful I am that you are patient, Lord, because we are human. We fail and we mess up, but Lord, you are patient with us to pick us up and get us back on the path. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would take some of these things away from this chapter today, Lord, and be able to apply them to our lives, not to do anything better for ourselves, Lord, but for you, Father. We owe everything to you, and we just pray that it would be our desire to do things for your glory and not for ourselves. Lord, I just pray your blessing for us as we dismiss this morning. In Christ's name, amen.